When immigrants from overseas colonize a new homeland, the lifestyle that they establish usually incorporates features of the lifestyle that they had practiced in their land of origin. A cultural capital of knowledge, beliefs, subsistence methods, and social organization accumulated in their homeland. That is especially the case when, as true of the Vikings, they occupy a land that is originally either uninhabited or else inhabited by people with whom the colonists have little contact. In the case of the Vikings, the societies that they created on the North Atlantic Islands were modeled on the societies that they had left behind. That legacy of cultural history was especially important in the areas of agriculture, iron production, class structure, and religion. While we think of Vikings as raiders and seafarers, they thought of themselves as farmers. The particular animals and crops that grew well in southern Norway became an important consideration in overseas Viking history, not only because those were the species available for Viking colonists to carry with them, but also because those species were involved in the Viking social values. Problems arise when the agricultural practices of immigrants prove ill-matched to their new homeland. A mismatch between what was suitable in old and new landscapes had heavy consequences for the Greenland Norse. Livestock grew better than crops in Norway's cool climate. The livestock were the same five species that had provided the basis of food production for thousands of years: cows, sheep, goats, pigs, and horses. Of those species, the ones considered of highest status by Vikings were pigs bred for meat, cows for milk products, and horses used for transport. Much lower in prestige, but still useful economically, were sheep and goats, kept more for milk products and wool or hair than for meat. In areas where the climate was mild enough to permit gardening, Norwegian Vikings also grew cold-tolerant crops, especially barley. Wild meat was a major supplement to domestic livestock as a source of protein, especially fish, which account for half or more of the animal bones in Norwegian Viking middens. Hunted animals included seals and other marine mammals, reindeer and moose, and small land mammals, seabirds, ducks, and other waterfowl. Iron implements discovered at Viking sites by archaeologists tell us that Vikings used iron for many purposes: for heavy agricultural tools, small household tools, and of course, military tools. The remains of slag heaps and charcoal-producing pits at iron processing sites let us reconstruct how Vikings obtained their iron. The starting material was so-called bog iron, widespread in Scandinavia, that is, iron oxide that has become dissolved in water and then precipitated by acidic conditions or bacteria in bogs and lake sediments. Whereas modern iron mining companies select ores containing between 30 and 95% iron oxide, Viking smiths accepted ores with as little as 1% iron oxide. The ore was dried, heated to melting temperature in a furnace in order to separate the iron from the slag, hammered to remove more impurities, and then forged into the desired shape. Burning wood does not yield a temperature high enough for working with iron. Instead, the wood must first be burned to form charcoal, which does sustain a sufficiently hot fire. It takes, on the average, about 4 pounds of wood to make 1 pound of charcoal. Because of that requirement, plus the low iron content of bog iron, Viking iron extraction and tool production, and even the repair of iron tools, consumed enormous quantities of wood, which became a limiting factor in the history of Viking Greenland, where trees were in short supply. As for the social system that Vikings brought overseas with them from the Scandinavian mainland, it was hierarchical, with classes ranging at the lowest level from slaves captured in raids through freemen up to chiefs. Large unified kingdoms were just emerging in Scandinavia during the Viking expansion. However, the settlers had emigrated in part to escape the power of would-be kings, so that neither Iceland nor Greenland societies ever developed kings of their own. Instead, the power there remained in the hands of a military aristocracy of chiefs. Only they could afford their own boat and a full set of livestock. Key decisions of Viking society were made by the chiefs, who were motivated to increase their own prestige, even in cases where that might conflict with the good of the current society as a whole and of the next generation. We already encountered those same conflicts of interest for Easter Island chiefs and Maya kings, and they also had heavy consequences for the fate of Greenland Norse society. When the Vikings began their overseas expansion in the 800s, they still were pagans, worshipping gods traditional in Germanic religion, such as the sky god Thor and the war god Odin. Once established overseas in Christian lands, Vikings were quite prepared to intermarry and adapt to local customs, and that included embracing Christianity. Conversions of Vikings overseas contributed to the emergence of Christianity at home in Scandinavia. When Norway began to convert, the overseas Viking colonies of Orkney, Shetland, Faroe, Iceland, and Greenland followed suit. That was partly because the colonies depended on Norwegian shipping for trade, and had to recognize the impossibility of remaining pagan after Norway became Christian. At the meeting of Iceland's National Assembly in the summer of 999, Icelanders accepted the inevitable and declared themselves Christian. Around that same year, Leif Erikson, the son of Erik the Red, who founded the Greenland colony, supposedly introduced Christianity to Greenland. The conversion to Christianity constituted a dramatic cultural break for the Viking overseas colonies. Art and architecture became Christian, based on continental models. Overseas Vikings built big churches and even cathedrals, equal in size to those of much more populous mainland Scandinavia, and thus huge in relation to the size of the much smaller overseas population supporting them. Perhaps the most important consequence of the colonists' conversion to Christianity involved how they viewed themselves. Viking colonists on the North Atlantic Islands thought of themselves as European Christians. That shared identity enabled a few thousand Greenlanders to cooperate with each other, withstand hardships, and maintain their existence in a harsh environment for four centuries. As we shall see, it also prevented them from modifying their identity in ways that might have permitted them to survive beyond four centuries.